All right, if everyone will stand, Randall put the verse up on the wall. It's, of course, Deuteronomy, chapter 4, verses 44 through 49. And this is the law which Moses set before the children of Israel. These are the testimonies and the statutes and the ordinances which Moses spoke unto the children of Israel after they came forth out of Egypt. On this side of the Jordan, in the valley over against Beth Peor, in the land of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt at Heshbon, whom Moses and the children of Israel smote after they were come forth out of Egypt. And they possessed his land in the land of Og, king of Bashan, two kings of the Amorites who were on this side of the Jordan toward the sun rising, from Oreor, which is in the bank of the river Arnon, unto Mount Zion, which is Hermon, and all the Arba on the side of the Jordan eastward, even unto the sea of the Arba, under the springs of Pisgah. You may be seated. Today's sermon is a little bit different sermon than I have been bringing, but I think it's needed. I've got a question for you, and don't flip it down, Randa. Who is the most politically influential Christian, in quotes, in the White House in America today? Now, has anybody got an answer? Who is the most politically influential to Trump in the White House? Anybody got an answer? All right, I've got some candidates. Is it Joel Osteen? Remember, they got about 24,000 a week come in there. T.D. Jakes, he's the black preacher. He was supposed to take the place of Billy Graham. Franklin Graham, Billy's son. Rick Warren, he wrote the book about the Percival Church. David Barton. Charles Colson, James Dobson, Tim and Beverly LaHaye, Joyce Meyer, Jack Van Impe. Well, it's none of those people. Then who is it? Still don't know? We'll see who it is. Now there she is, right there. There's Trump. The most politically influential Christian in America is a controversial Florida preacher many evangelical Republicans may never heard of. Paula White, a Florida televangelist. It's Paula White. And who is Paula White? Well, I'll tell you who Paula White is. Paula recorded her first broadcast of Paula White Today in December 2001. And 5 years later, by 2006, her show appeared on 9 television networks, including Trinity Broadcast Network, TBN, Daystar, and Black Entertainment Television. Ebony Magazine, which is a black magazine, it's a magazine for black people, said of this white woman preacher, quote, "You know you're on to something new and significant when the most popular woman preacher on the Black Entertainment Network is a white woman." And that, of course, is Paula White. White considers T.G. Jakes her spiritual father. Jakes invited her to speak at his Woman Thou Art Loosed conference in 2000. She also participated in the mega feast hosted by Jakes in Atlanta in 2004, 5, and 8. Now I've got a picture of her with her spiritual father. There's T.D. Jakes. There's Paula White. That's her spiritual father. That's what she says is her spiritual father. James Dotson recently reported that he heard that Paula White led Donald Trump the Christ, and Trump is now a baby Christian. White, who is senior pastor at New Destiny Christian Center in Alpoca, Florida, was one of Trump's early supporters. In September 2015, she was one of about 40 religious leaders who met with Trump for a private prayer service at Trump Tower in New York. Later, she attended Trump's meeting with over 900 evangelical leaders and was appointed to Trump's Evangelical Advisory Board. When asked if Pastor Paula White was the one who led Donald Trump to Christ, she answered, quote, this is a quote from Paula White, "In my ministry, I've been fortunate to privately advise many national leaders, celebrities, and people of unusual influence. I don't talk about those conversations and relationships because they are built on trust. And I wouldn't even be talking about this one had the press not chosen to politicize it. I can tell you with confidence that I have heard Mr. Trump verbally acknowledge his faith in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of his sins through prayer. And I absolutely believe he is a Christian who is growing like the rest of us. I know that from many personal conversations," end quote. Well, that's quite a statement. Paula was the daughter of an upper middle class family. Her parents were owners of a toy store business. Her mother was an alcoholic, and her father killed himself when she was just 5 years old. When Paula was a young girl, 9 years old, her mother married an officer in the Navy. They then moved to Maryland. She graduated from high school, but soon got pregnant out of wedlock. She then married the father, Dean Knight, but it only lasted 2 years. But she did give birth to one child, a boy. So she married this, he was a musician, and she had one child. She got pregnant out of wedlock, so they got married. That's pretty typical today, if they even get married. While married, she became saved, in quotes, in a Pentecostal church. She soon got divorced from her first husband and was working as a janitor. It's not a bad working as a janitor in a church building. While working there, Paula says that she received a dramatic call from God that she was to become a preacher. How many preachers has our God called who are women? So while she was working as a janitor, as a divorced mother of one child, she met another divorced man, a preacher by the name of Randy White. He was trying to get his life back together after his divorce, and they started dating. They became friends and dated for several months. It wasn't long until Randy proposed to her during a tour to Israel. And she accepted. They went to Israel and he proposed. Shortly thereafter, they moved from Maryland to Tampa, Florida. They moved to the Tampa, Florida area to start a new church. For 2 years, they were on government handouts and gifts from friends as they just barely survived. And then the change happened. The church began to grow. They changed location 3 times, each time to a larger building. They even changed the name of the church. Eventually, it was called Without Walls International Church. They were husband and wife co-pastors of this great, in quotes, church. They soon had a $1.9 million jet, a $2.9 million home, and a $3.5 million condo in Trump Towers. Paula White ministered to some well-known people, including Michael Jackson, who's black, Gary Sheffield, who's black, and Daryl Strawberry, who's black. She was the personal pastor to Daryl Strawberry, starting in 2003, following Strawberry's release from prison for cocaine possession. Daryl Strawberry was a great baseball player. Charisse Strawberry, Daryl Strawberry's wife at that time, worked as a assistant to Paula White, accompanying her on speaking engagements. She is the personal life coach of Tyra Banks and appeared on her show, The Tyra Banks Show, in an episode concerning promiscuity on October 4th, 2006. White has been a personal minister to Donald Trump, who discovered White by watching her TV show. Trump first made contact by telephone in 2002. He went on to bring her often to Atlantic City for private Bible studies. Boy, I'd like to hear those Bible studies, wouldn't you? And he has appeared on her television show. White was credited in June 2016 by James Dobson as having converted Trump to Christianity. White was part of Trump's Evangelical Advisory Board during his campaign for United States President and provided the invocation prayer during Trump's inauguration ceremony, which I'm sure Debbie heard. Since Trump took office, White has served as one of the president's spiritual advisors and has held Oval Office prayer circles with him. White, with assistance from her own ministry board advisor, has had an ongoing spiritual role towards Trump. White enthusiastically supported Trump's 2017 decision to recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. But the Whites would wind up bankrupt and divorced. This while preaching the prosperity gospel. The prosperity gospel means that if you give money to God, he will prosper you. I got a little question. How come it didn't help the husband and wife preachers who promote this false doctrine? She now says, give me all your January check, and God will greatly prosper you. The United States government investigated them for 11 years about their financial situation, and they said that Paula White did not provide any answers at all. She refused to give them any records of any kind. I guess the $1.9 million jet, the $2.9 million home, and the $3.5 million condo was a kind of a question about where the finances were going. The investigation ended without any decision. Paula eventually took over the large church that was in Tampa and a second church that they had started in Lakewood, Florida. She was pastor of both churches after her divorce from Randy. She soon abandoned them and took over a church in Opaca, Florida that was started by a black man by the name of Zachary Timms. Oh, the story just gets more intriguing. Anybody know who Zachary Tim was? Now, here's the church of Without Walls International Church in Tampa. You notice these hands, how they're... Yeah, that's a sign of the bad guys. Was one of the fastest growing churches in the entire nation. Real estate developers bought the property now. The church was demolished. Hoping to emerge from bankruptcy, Without Walls International Church says it is close to selling its longtime home near Raymond James Stadium to a real estate developer. Attorneys for Without Walls said in the document filed in federal court Friday that a sales contract with the Richmond Group closes soon. The developer plans to pay $12.6 million and build multifamily apartment units on West Columbus Drive property. Without Walls and the Richmond Group struck a similar deal last year, but the church, quote, refused to close on that sale at the last second, according to documents filed in the bankruptcy case. The $12.6 million exceeds the amount of loans backed by the Florida Tampa property, but is still far less than the overall $29 million that Without Walls owed its lender, California-based Evangelical Christian Credit Union, as of last month. Church officials announced their latest plans to move to a new location at Sunday's worship service. Spokeswoman Susan Funk said leaders have not yet settled on the location, though court documents say the church has a rental agreement to use Blake High School. Over the years, Without Walls took out four loans with a total of $29 million from the credit union, using its Tampa campus and a Lakewood church as collateral, the court documents said. But after Without Walls stopped making its payments, the credit union began foreclosure proceeding on the two properties in October 2012. The church filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection in March. Last month, the credit union took the Lakewood property by making the top bid at a bankruptcy auction. So that's bankruptcy. That church is gone. The 12,000-member church was established in 1991. About 4,000 members attend one or more of its three weekly services at the Tampa site, according to the church. The church also operates an after-school daycare center at the location. Last year, Without Walls' gross revenues totaled $2.2 million, according to bankruptcy documents. Randy White, who resigned as a senior pastor in 2009 because of what he described as health concerns, he got a bunch of DUIs, returned to Without Walls in July of 2012. In the year preceding the bankruptcy filing, White received a salary of $156,000. How'd you like to receive that salary? $156,000 plus benefits. Plus benefits, the church said in court documents. White also made $800,000 in unsecured loans to the church, the March documents said. He made $800,000 loan to the church? Without Walls once boasted 22,000 members and was among the fastest growing congregations in the United States. But half of its members left after White's 2007 divorce from his wife, Paula, now a senior pastor at New Destiny Christian Center in Opoka near Orlando. The church also has endured tough news media scrutiny as inquiring into its finances, led by United States Senator Charles Grassley, Republican of Iowa, and the ongoing foreclosure issue. Now here's a picture of Without Walls that's in ruins. They had all kind of rats, and just a mess. So the church was destroyed. Both churches were destroyed, demolished, and was bought by a realty company. Zachary and Reva Timms founded New Destiny Christian Center in 1996 and grew it to a 7,000-member congregation. 7,000 people every week. There was disagreement among members over Paula White, reportedly Tim's spiritual mother. Paula White was supposedly Tim's spiritual mother. Now, Tim's is a black guy. Being installed as the New Destiny senior pastor in January 2012, White was formerly a pastor of Without Walls International Church in Tampa, Florida, which her ex-husband Randy White now leads. Since then, Without Walls Church filed for bankruptcy and has been demolished. Randy now preaches in a small, very common-looking building, like the building we used to have. It's very small. The founder of New Destiny Church died of a cocaine heroin-related overdose while he was in New York on church-related business. But Paula needed church. She came and lied about the situation that had happened at her previous churches. There was a big uproar about her becoming pastor of a mostly black church. Reva Ames, Tim's widow, went to court to keep her from taking over her late husband's church. But she soon dropped the charges. I'd like to know the reason why she dropped the charges. Paula became pastor of New Destiny Christian Center. Reva pastors her church in the Orlando area. It's a black church. And I quoted something from their website. This is the quote. Paula White Ministries Unleashed Conference at New Destiny Christian Center is all about unlocking your destiny and getting into position. Every single person on this earth, everybody, is destined for a specific assignment. Join Pastor Paula White Kane and some of the most influential leaders of our time for 3 power-packed days of discovering, cultivating, and unleashing your God-given purpose, unquote. That's what our website said. Well, that was quite a conference, I bet. Popular televangelist and President Donald Trump's spiritual advisor. It's her spiritual advisor, Paula White, reportedly lost hundreds of members and thousands of dollars in weekly donations from her predominantly black congregation at New Destiny Christian Center in Opoka, Florida. Because of her relationship with the president, her only child, and associate pastor at the church, Bradley Knight says. So her only child is co-pastor of the church, and his wife, Rachel, is also co-pastor at the church. They're all white people. They preach when Bradley's mother goes to Washington to meet with the president, which is quite often. So Bradley and Rachel, they preach. And when Paula's there, she preaches. Here's a quote from Bradley. Her relationship with the black community got really frayed because of President Trump. She got messages from black leaders saying, "You betrayed us." Unquote. Knight, who is the son of Paula and her first husband, revealed that New Destiny lost between 200 and 300 people because of his mother's support of the president, and that the giving has dropped off by $10,000 a week. Man. Despite the claims made by Knight, however, the loss of members at the church appears to have started as far back as 2011 when his mother, who was accused of deception and her takeover of the church, assumed the lead pastor role when co-founder Zachary Timms died. Timms' ex-wife and co-founder of New Destiny, Reva Timms, who tried to stop White's takeover of the church, told that she has no idea what has happened with New Destiny since White took it over with 8,000 members, but suggested, quote, it's very quiet over there, unquote.
That means they got less than 8,000 people.
Reba Timms is pastor of the Majestic Life Ministries in Orlando, Florida, who co-founded the now Paula White-led and once popular New Destiny Christian Center with her late husband, Zachary Timms. Sources who say they have worked closely with New Destiny in the past have said that attendance has dropped dramatically since White took over, and they estimate the congregation currently now stands at about 500. If I ever spoke to a group of 500 people, it would be the largest group I ever spoke to. I think the conference will have, they could only hold 200, and that would be a massive crowd for me. Timms currently leads the 1,700 members, 1,700 people, Majestic Life Church in Florida, and released a new book this year titled When It All Comes Together. It focuses on recovering from her husband's death and losing New Destiny to Paula White. Here's a quote. "We're in the same city, but honestly, we don't know anything that's going on at New Destiny." I bet she knows everything going on there. "It's very quiet over there. I do love Paula White with the love of Christ. But as far as her ability to advise the President of the United States, I would not recommend it. I could not give a recommendation because I don't know her like that," Tim stated. Today, Reva will host a big Super Bowl party at her church, as well as a lot of other things that she does. She is a motivator and not a true preacher of the gospel of the kingdom. I got a couple questions. Did the God of the Bible anoint anyone except a man of the tribe of Judah to be king over his kingdom? Did the God of the Bible anoint anyone except a man from the tribe of Levi to be priest of his temple? Did Jesus the Christ choose anyone except men to be his 12 disciples? Women have taken over in our lifetime. They're mayors, senators, representatives, governors, preachers, priests, police officers, deacons, elders, CEOs, principals, presidents, soldiers, etc. For they don't believe God. They believe the two genders are equal. Got a little thing I've found it on the website. This is Rita Timms's Sunday, February the 4th. That's today. Sunday night, big Super Bowl party. Eagles versus the Patriots. 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. Plenty of food, fun. Kickoff at 6:30. Everything's free. But a church should do sponsor these programs. Here's a picture of her church. Worship place of Reva Timms' church. They follow Dave Ramsey's principle of getting out of debt. That's one good thing about him. Also known as the Name It and Claim It Gospel, the prosperity gospel doctrine has focused on biblical verses and stories that include the words of theme of abundance, blessings, and wealth. The origins of the movement are attributed to Oral Roberts and Kenneth Hagin Jr. However, it was Frederick J. Ekerenkotier II, known as Reverend Ike. Now, I knew Reverend Ike on the radio. Reverend Ike. I couldn't pronounce his real name. Reverend Ike, who popularized it, especially among African-American Christians. Reverend Ike. So I thought that was interesting. But that is not all. The story continues. We have another big name preacher. Anybody ever hear of Benny Hinn? Who was married at the time with 4 children, who went to Rome to help with some project in the Vatican. But who was he photographed holding hands with by a paparazzi photographer, divorced and single, Paula White. The National Enquirer had a big, big scoop. Big-time preacher having an affair with a two-time divorce preacher. They stayed in the same room. They stayed in the same room at a five-star hotel for 3 nights. There's the National Enquirer. TV evangelist Benny Hinn caught in torrid affair, holding hands with Paula White. That led to Benny Hinn's divorce from his long-term wife. Paula had told her church that she was on vacation, but she didn't tell them where she was going. The story is so inconsistent that it sounds exactly like the government stories about 9/11, the Newtown Massacre, the Stay Family Massacre in Texas, the Las Vegas mass killings, and so forth. They're so inconsistent, it's ridiculous. Both Benny Hinn and Paula decided it'd be best if they weren't seen together again, so they both went their own ways. And then what happens? Paula marries for the third time. She doesn't have one wedding ceremony. She doesn't have two wedding ceremonies. She has three separate wedding engagements to a man who was twice divorced too. Now, was he a preacher? Was he a church member? No. He was a rock and roll keyboardist. Since their marriage, he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2017. That's up in Cleveland. Their first marriage ceremony, and it was a secret ceremony, nobody knew about it, was conducted by a black archbishop, Duncan Williams, in the summer of 2014 in Ghana, Africa. It was supposedly for family only, except her brother said, "I didn't know this guy until December." And inconsistent stories. But I guess they had to come up with some idea that they were not committing sin before they got married. Later they said that they would have another ceremony in April of 2015. That's over a half a year later. For the rest of the family who couldn't go to Africa, and the next day for the church. Now, her third husband was brought up as a Roman Catholic. He was in Catholic schools and was the survivor of Our Lady of the Angels school fire in Chicago. He's from Chicago. Everybody bad's from Chicago. He was in a school fire that killed 92 of his classmates and 3 nuns. He turned to music as a safety valve for the tragedy. Get this one. He said that God told him to divorce his second wife, her name is Elizabeth Fullerton, and to abandon his 3 children that he had with her. He said that he met Paula on Southwest Airlines airplane, and they soon started dating. His real name is Jonathan Frigga, but he goes by the stage name of Jonathan Kane. That should give you the creeps. Why, anybody picked the name Kane? And Paula doesn't go by the name of Paula White Frigga, she goes by the name of Paula White Kane. I don't have to do the research that was needed. I didn't have time to do the research that was needed. But I believe if you went back in the family tree of John, you'd find a branch that goes back to Cain in the garden. I don't know. I think you would. Jonathan has continued his secular rock band and goes on tour on a regular basis. He goes by the name of Jonathan Cain, not Jonathan Frigga. Paula goes by the name of Paula White Cain and not Paula White Frigga. White hyphen Cain. That is the plan of the descendants of Cain for the annihilation of the white race. Racial intermarriage. And the worst one of them all is marrying into the wicked seed line. Now I got another map because I didn't. Where's Ghana? Ghana's right here. Liberia's here. That's where they're supposedly married. As they were married on the Mount of Baal. Can you believe that? But the stories get, it's just too much. So let's review. Paula marries a musician, Dean Knight. She has her only biological child. Paula marries Randall White. She is his second wife. Now, he proposed to her where? Where did Randy propose to Paula to marry? Where was it? On the tour of Israel. Then we got, she did marry him, but she had an affair with Benny Hinn while he was still married. The affair was discovered while they were in the Vatican of Roman Catholicism. And then she married a Roman Catholic, Jonathan Frigga, whose name was Cain. She is his third wife. She says that they have had three separate wedding ceremonies. And she's the person who said amen to President Trump's moving the capital, Tel Aviv, to Jerusalem. Her church is made up of mostly blacks. And she has a lot of black preachers come and preach to them in her church. She says her spiritual father is a black man. And she's the spiritual mother to another black man. I'll give you a thing they had back in August. Miracles, Prayer, and Prophecy. August 27th, 9:11 a.m., August 28th, 7 p.m. Prayer and Prophecy with Prophet, and I cannot say this name, Akwashi Ginnaman Prumuff. Paula first met Mr. Trump when the businessman gave her a call after seeing her preach on TV. I wonder what it was, but she was preaching it. Enabled him to call her. They became friends. In the past year, Paula Cain has spoken at Trump rallies and helped organize meetings between the candidate and evangelical leaders. She went on CNN last month to talk about his faith. She delivered a closing prayer at the Republican National Convention and gave the prayer at his inauguration. She wasn't the only one. Let me show you what this is. Here's the six people who gave the prayers at the inauguration. Anybody know this guy? Bishop Wayne T. Jackson. Preaches the prosperity gospel. That you know. That's Paula Knight White Frida Krika Cain. She preaches the prosperity gospel. Anybody know this guy? Yeah, Franklin Graham, son of Billy Graham. Anybody know him? Roman Catholics. Cardinal Timothy Dolan. This is Hispanic. Samuel Rodriguez. You think? His name is H-I-E-R. He's Jewish. Two prosperity gospel preachers, one Roman Catholic cardinal, one the son of a great ecumenical leader, one a leading Hispanic preacher, and the last one official of the Samuel Wiesenthal Center, a Jew. I'm going to read Deuteronomy 44:44-49 again. I'm going to read one more verse after it. And this is the law which Moses set before the children of Israel. Not black people. Children of Israel. These are the testimonies and the statutes and the ordinances which Moses spoke unto the children of Israel. Not black people. After they came forth out of Egypt. On this side of the Jordan, in the valley over against Beth Peor, in the land of Sihon, king of the Amorites, who dwelt at Heshbon, who Moses And the children of Israel smote after they were come forth out of Egypt. And they possessed his land and the land of Og, king of Bashan, two kings of the Amorites, who were on this side of the Jordan toward the sun rising. And both these kings were giants. From Aor, which is by the bank of the river Arnon, unto Mount Zion, which is Hermon. And all the Arabah on this side of the Jordan, eastward into the sea of Arabah, and to the springs of Pishah. This was followed by the following verse, Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1. And Moses called all Israel. He didn't call all the other nations around him. He called all the Israelites and said to them, Hear this, O Israel. This is only Israel only. It's not to the New Guinea natives. Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day. So it had to be them. That you may learn them and then keep them and then do them. Learn, keep, and do the laws of God. Moses set before the children of Israel the law of their God. All Israel had to do was just keep his law. How are we doing? Are we keeping the law of our God? And we have the president of our nation, Donald Trump, having one woman, one black man, one Hispanic man, one Roman Catholic cardinal, one son of the greatest ecumenical leader of the country's history, and one individual who hates the Lord God of Israel, a Jew, say a prayer at his inauguration. May our Lord God forgive us. To be continued, blessed be the Lord God of Israel.